So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You need to carry your Bible with you, otherwise you're spiritually streaking. Do you know the people that don't know the Word of God, Satan beats them up and strips them naked? It's what he did in the book of Acts. And so you don't want to be running around naked. You need your armor on. You need your armor on. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We're going to read this scripture. It says, "Give, and it will be given to who?" To you, to me. "Give, and it will be given to you." And here's how it will be given to you. A good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will it be put into your bosom? For with the same measure, this is a big, big, big factor here. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, I live in a neighborhood with a lot of trees, and yesterday I went out to rake leaves. I hate doing any type of yard work at all. Amen. I've got somebody that's with me on that. I don't like it. I don't like yard work. But I went out yesterday because if I didn't, we were going to be in a drift of leaves. They were going to be up to our waist. So I went out yesterday and I raked up the leaves. And I had all these ideas running through my mind, including the Duck Dynasty episode that I saw where he set the leaves on fire in his yard. And I started thinking, I don't think I can do that in my neighborhood, because I did learn something from that episode when I watched it. He got called in by the Homeowners Association. So I started thinking about that, and I thought, maybe I better not set them on fire. Maybe I don't want to roll over them with the mower. There's too many of them. And just try to mulch them up and scatter them so Rhonda won't be able to see them any. Maybe they'll be small enough and she'll realize that something's been done. So I decided, and I tried to blow them, and the neighbor blew them in my yard. I watched him. He blew his in my yard with a blower. So I had to pick up his and mine. But anyway, so I went out there and I got a trash bag. And I went out there and I began to bag up those leaves. And when I was bagging up those leaves, I was thinking about this scripture. How God has a desire to give to you. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't like carrying a bunch of bags of leaves to the curb. So you know what I do with the bag is I get a good measure in the bag. I press that bag down. I press those leaves down. I get in there and do a dance in there and crush them. And I shake it to get more in there, and I put as much in there as I can before I tie the top on that thing. And you know, I was thinking about you guys, and I was thinking about me when I was doing that, and I was thinking, how does God want to give back into our lives? A good measure. He is working to where he is pressing down on what he's going to give us so he can put more in there. He's shaking it so it'll all fall into place, so that there's no room left. There's no place in that bag that he's going to give to you where there could have been something else. It's all shaken down so that every part of it's filled. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall the Lord, that's his desire. That's the desire, Paul, that the Lord wants to do in you, is to do that. He said that there's a key to receiving in that way. First of all, we have to be willing to give. And second of all, we have to understand that whatever measure we decide to use, it better be the same measure that God uses. Okay? Now, the principles of God, of the kingdom of God, are real interesting. More often than not, they run directly contrary to the worldly principles. The scripture that we just read in Luke is one of those that runs contrary to worldly principles. The world's wisdom says that what you better do is you better hold back if you want to increase. You better hold back if you want to increase. I even heard a saying the other day that I thought really went along with this holding back principle, but it was a relational saying. It said, he who loves the least in a relationship, let me back up, he who loves the least in the relationship has the most power in that relationship. He who loves the least in a relationship holds the most power in that relationship. You know what? That's a completely selfish way of looking at things. I am sure glad that God didn't look at us and decide that he wanted to maintain power rather than love, rather than expressing love to us, or we would have been in trouble. The Bible says that if you want more, then you better be willing to give away what you have. It's directly opposite to worldly principles. Jesus taught us that to receive, we must be willing to give. And if you want to get more, you've got to be willing to pour out. You've got to be willing to make room in your life for more. I pressed and pressed and pressed on those bags until I couldn't get any more in them. The only way that I was going to be able to get more in those bags was to be able to empty some of that out. And some of us are walking around in our lives looking like one of those fat leaf bags with the top tied, and we've just walking around just full of things. Now, we may not think we're full of things, but we're full of things. And you know what? God wants to do more in our life. He wants to expand the kingdom of God more in our life. But until we get to the place that we are ready to empty out a little bit, there's nothing he can do. His hands are tied. He says, I would love to do more for you. I would love for you to experience more than what you've already experienced. But instead, we're hanging on to what we have with everything that we have. And that principle, somebody says, well, he's going to give a message about finances here before Christmas starts. No, that's not even really what I'm talking about this morning. Because this principle operates not just in the financial realm, but in every realm of the spirit. For instance, if you want to learn more spiritually, if you want your maturity to grow spiritually, then you better act upon what you've already received. You've got to begin to pour out. You've got to begin to use what you already have, or you're not going to get more from the Lord. How many of you want to increase in your spiritual maturity? Do you really? Do you really? Well, then this has got to become a fundamental part of your life. You have to learn to act upon the wisdom that you have. Some of you look at yourself and say, I don't have any wisdom. I'm not very smart. I just need to sit around until God gives me more. Listen, what God's waiting for you to do is act upon what you have. That's what he's waiting to happen. You're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. Waiting upon what? God says it's not even real wisdom to you if you don't use it. You may think you know some things, but if you're not acting on them, you don't know them. Pastor Roy, I've told the story of Pastor Roy meeting with a pastor who's having marital problems. Pastors are the hardest people to counsel. I mean, leaders in the body of Christ, they're the worst. Because you get in there and you start trying to talk to them, they know everything. When you try to talk to them about treating their wives, well, I know that. I preached a sermon on that. I wrote a book on that. I know all about marriage. My marriage is falling apart. It's broken up, but I know all about marriage. I know everything you're telling me, I know. And I love what Pastor Roy said. You know, he said, yeah, you know that all right. You know that so well, you're not doing that. Therefore, you know what that means? You don't know it. So let's start over. Let's get out of self-deception. Let's stop fooling ourselves. And let's get back to reality. All right? Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Now, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit right now. It says, if you act upon the wisdom you have, using it in the will of God to bless others, you will receive back in abundance what you have had to give away, what you have given away to other people. You'll not only receive back what you had, you're going to receive back more. That's the good thing. And the truth, the very interesting truth at the end says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Well, let me see how little I can do. And kind of meet this criteria that the Lord has laid out for us. That's the way a lot of us are. Let me try to hit the lowest common denominator. What's the lowest common denominator? What's the least I can do and skate by? That, brothers and sisters, with that type of attitude, we are not going to increase in life. And our spiritual maturity is going to be stuck in neutral. And not just stuck in neutral, because I'm going to explain something to you here in a minute. You may think you're going to stay the same if you don't act on things, but you're not going to stay the same, because even what you have, you're going to begin to lose. But the long-term growth of your spiritual maturity depends upon your willingness to invest what you currently have. Just like finances, you have to invest for the long term. If you want to grow in maturity and wisdom regarding spiritual things, you got to use what you have. Now, here's some things. Well, let me just say this to you real quick. A lot of us kind of take what I call the monk system of growth. Not the monkey. But we kind of take the monk system of growth. We think if we get somewhere alone and quiet and we meditate on the scriptures and we read and we think and we pray, and that's all that we do, that we're going to increase and increase in wisdom. I am the first proponent of spending time alone with the Lord. My wife knows me by now, and she knows that guy has got to have his time with the Lord, things are not going to work. He has got to have his time alone. I am a big proponent of that. But if you get out of there and God begins to show you things and you walk off, and you are not attached to the world like a monkey, as you're sitting somewhere in your little spiritual ivory tower, and you don't go out and you don't use those things, then you're never going to achieve true Christ-like maturity. And I'm not putting anyone down religiously. That's not the point. The point is that anyone who takes that stature, that response, is not going to grow into real Christ-like maturity. As a matter of fact, you're going to lose what God has already given you. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. You're right there at Luke 6, flip to Luke 8. Let's look at verse 15. Let's see what the Lord is saying about this principle. He says, but the ones that fell on good ground. Here he's talking about the parable of the soils. He's ending up that teaching right here. He says, the seed that fell on good ground are those who hear the word with a noble and a good heart. They keep it and they bear fruit with patience. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed. Better watch out, that'll set your bed on fire. You try to do that. The very place you're trying to relax, the very place of relaxation you're trying to find, if you hide your lamp under that place, then you know what? Everything's going to catch on fire. You set your lamp, your light on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. And then look at what he says. He says, therefore, be careful how you hear, how you learn. That's what Jesus is saying. Be careful how you learn. Because whoever has, whoever learns, whoever hears something and hears the truth and says, I know that's the truth, to him will be given more. But whoever does not have, and what was Pastor Roy's definition of you don't have? I don't care if you know facts. If you're not acting on it, it's not wisdom to you. Okay? There's some other type of fact that you have exalted above that one. So, it says, well, whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be what? Taken away from him. He'll lose it. He'll lose it. He'll lose that revelation. I question, did it ever become revelation to him? God showed him something, but he never opened his heart to receive it. When we act upon the Word of God, brothers and sisters, we bear fruit. Acting upon the Word includes allowing everyone to see the light in us. The light is made visible through our ministry to other people. If we're hearing week after week what God's Word says, and it's telling us to use our gifts and to love in action and to serve other people, and we don't act upon that, then the door of revelation, that creak that you hear, key, that's the door of revelation swinging closed in your life. God says, I'm a master builder. I don't build on faulty foundations. He says, I don't build crooked houses. I don't build weak structures. Until this part of this person's life is functioning as I intended it to function, not only being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word, until that's operating, I cease building. I cease. I stop. Because I'm not going to go ahead and put a whole bunch of stuff on top of that, and then sooner or later when the storms come or when something else happens in the life, it's going to fall down and they're going to look at the builder and say, what type of house did you build? He said, I don't build that way. I really worry about us because I think there's a lot of us that all our goal, all we want to do is be saved, just get to heaven and avoid hell. That's all we want to do. That's our goal. Listen, I'm not so much interested in being a part of the kingdom of God here on earth other than the fact if I need him, if I get in trouble, I need him to, like a bellhop, I need him to get here real quick and get this straightened out. But other than that, I don't really have any desire in my life to see God really do anything, but I sure don't want to get my drawer set on fire. I do not want to go to hell. I really don't. I really question, and I'm going to say something to you that may challenge you this morning. I really question, with that type of attitude, no matter what you do, if you're going to be saved. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think God's as dumb as you think he is. We think we're so enamored with our own wisdom. We exalt ourselves and then bring God down. And we think that he's just going to be so happy to have us for some reason that his whole goal is, man, I just want you to get into heaven. And translation, I don't really care what you do here. I'd love, man, please, if you would just help me out a little bit. Just please. What's what we feel like God on his knees, please, please. I mean, just help me out a little bit. But if you choose not to, if you just grab that brass ring at the end, everything's going to be okay. I may be wrong, but I think we serve a more majestic God than that. It's worthy of a little bit more than that. And I really think, you'll me be real honest with you, I really think if we come toward him with that type of attitude, you know what I really think his response is? No thanks, I don't need that. I don't need that. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Parker. Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible also says that there's going to be many in that day that said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff? And didn't we carry around your name, wear crosses, and go to some house of worship? And he's going to say, who are you? I don't know who you are. I don't have any of these slackers in my house. And that's just my opinion. I used to live that way. That was my goal. That's why I hate it so in my own life, because I see how unworthy of Jesus that is and what he's done for us. He walked a road for me, the road of sacrifice, all the way to death for a rebel, for a fool, for somebody who didn't want to have anything to do with him. He did that for me. He gave it all. And I don't think anything less than that is worthy of him. I really don't. And so if that's your goal, you might want to rethink. Because that might not be enough. That may not be what the Lord, that could well be not what the Lord's not looking for at all. He says, you know what? You can keep that. And I can show you on the day you stand before me how that thinking is all wrong. And when you stand before me, you won't be accusing me of being unjust on that day when you see what I've done for you and the sacrifice that has been given so that you could live in this life. He said, I am not interested in selfishness, even in salvation. He said, I'm interested in people that are willing to lay down their lives for me and the gospel. That's why the way is straight and the road narrow. Okay, all right. The unhappiest people in the world are those who are constantly seeking for themselves. They're usually frustrated in their efforts because nothing's ever enough. And they don't get what they really want because true blessing and receiving comes through giving. And that's not what they want to do. They're just receivers. Feed me. Help me. Do something for me. Me, me. This is all about me, 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 me. All to Jesus. I'll surrender when I'm through with everything and on that day when I stand before Him and when it's all over and I don't have to be ostracized for His name or anything. I don't have to quit the things that I'm doing. All right. Listen, the Lord's called me to be a pastor. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you who's not going to stand before the Lord on that day, and you're going to be able to look at me and say, you didn't tell me. You didn't tell me. You didn't say. You know, because I'm going to stand there. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm going to be able to stand there and say, I'm clean of every man's blood. I'm clean up because I don't want to see them haul you off. All right, I want to see you enter into what God has for you. It didn't come cheap and it doesn't come cheap now. It's free, but it ain't cheap. It requires the same sacrifice on our part, the same death on our part that it required for Him. You could have never even tapped into it if it hadn't been for Him. But now you have an opportunity. But I don't really think Jesus is interested in having a bunch of street sweepers in heaven. Well, let me see. Here you are. You can't, you know. Boy, you made it. Oh, we were all worried about you. In heaven, we were so worried. We weren't sure you were going to make it or not. Let me see what your life qualifies you for in heaven. The life you lived on the earth. Gee whiz. Boy, this is a tough one. Let's see, nothing on the earth. No fruit on the earth. You see what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, that's better than going to hell. Yeah, you're right, but I don't even know if that's going to work. That plan's going to work or not. All right, back to giving. In Acts 20, 35, Paul said, I have shown you in every way that by laboring that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it's what? It's more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. He said those are the words of Jesus. They have to be real. They have to be real. The example set by those apostles was an example of selfless giving. And the result coming back from the Holy Spirit was the receipt of increase. In Matthew 20, 26, Jesus said this. When they were talking to Him about who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God, He said, it's not going to be so among you. In other words, there's not going to be all this jockeying for position, for the top position among you. He said, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be what? Your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. I want to challenge each and every one of you, and then I'm done. I want to challenge you. First, here's the first challenge. I want you to plan a radical act of kindness and selfless action this Christmas. Radical. When I say radical, that means it's something you've never done before. I want you to plan something purposely. I want you to look at those selfish kids of yours and tell them, we as a family are going to do something selfless for someone else this Christmas. We are going to learn what the real meaning of Christmas is. Something's happening in me. I don't know what it is. But I'm getting to the place to where I don't want to buy a bunch of presents for people who trip over the stuff that we gave them last year, who can't find room for the stuff that we gave them last year, who are never happy with what they get, who play 5 minutes with what we gave them last year, who look at it and don't even like it when I spend $150 on it, who never wear it, who buy me something they like. It's not what I like. I'm really getting, something's happening in me. And I don't know what it is. For a while I prayed. I said, Lord, is this selfishness? Maybe part of it is. Because I get tired of the real meaning of Christmas getting lost in the stress of having a financial stress. Lord, how are we going to do this? Well, everybody expects it. If we don't do this, we're not looked at as loving. Oh, my God. And so everybody gives everything away, including what they're supposed to give to the Lord. And they give everything away and they buy presents with it. They're calling us in January because they can't make it, because they spent all of their money in their budget on their, that they had for their bills, for they had for everything else on Christmas. And you know what I feel like saying? Merry Christmas. Wasn't that fun? Wasn't it fun? I'm tired of the true meaning of Christmas and the joy of Christmas getting stolen. Don't let it. Look at those people who expect you to give them a $200 gift and say, this year, you will be happy with a $25 gift card. And if they look at you, they give you a $200 gift and you give them a $25 gift, don't believe, that'll reverse next year. Don't worry about it. So don't feel guilty. It only happened 1 year. This will be the last year. All right? Don't worry about it. And just stand up in front of them and say, listen, our family has decided that we want to do something radical. We think that spending all this money on all of us who have zero needs financially is kind of ridiculous. So what we have decided to do is we have decided to pare back on our giving, give smaller gifts this year, and take the rest of that money and either use it as Jesus said, or if it's truly over and above, we're going to use it to help somebody who really needs something. We drew names the other day at my house. You might want to shut your ears on this one. I was going through there looking for Jesus' name. Where is he? I want to do something from him. They got enough. Nah, they don't need it. I haven't even seen them play with what we gave them last year. Does that make sense to anybody? Then we get back to what Christmas is really all about. Not all that fighting and I'm going to stab you with a knife if you don't back away from that PlayStation. It's, you know, and all that kind of stuff that happened the other day. That's grieving my spirit. It really is. And you know, I've seen too much. I've been around the world. I've been up here in this city walking among people, and that's why I'm encouraging you guys to get out and go with us. I've seen too much. I feel guilty doing that now. When you say feel guilty, you feel like you're doing something wrong? I don't think I'm sinning necessarily, but I feel like I'm not really touching the heart of God. I feel like I've got a little bit further to go. You know? Anyway, okay, do something radical. Do something radical. 1 year we took, you say, well, like what? 1 year we made all of our kids gather all the toys that we had to spank them every day because they wouldn't pick up. And we knew Christmas was coming, and all of those brain-dead grandparents were going to give them everything that they wanted plus more than that. And so we made them gather up all of those toys. We went to the Salvation Army, and we told them to give them to the kids down there. Do something, okay? Radical for somebody. Go out and feed the homeless. Go down on Christmas Eve to Union Gospel and feed people. Do something. But make a decision. Find a family on your street that you know is really struggling. Go up to their door. Knock on their door. Tell them, say, we have been praying and we have decided as a family this year that we're going to help you. It may not be just tons and tons of money, but we've decided we're going to do something. We're going to do something. We're not going to be bystanders and watch you stand by and watch you struggle. Something. I want to challenge you to do that this year. Let's get back to what the real meaning of Christmas really is. Okay? Not giving something to a kid who says, well, that wasn't really what I wanted. Give me that thing. So I'll give you, you know, I'm not going to give you what you want. I'll give you what you deserve. Nothing. You'll have nothing and like it. I'm like Phil, the dad on Duck Dynasty. All we got's a bunch of spoiled kids now. I don't know what's going on, but does anybody understand what I'm saying? I mean, how many of you are tired of being stressed at Christmas time? You tired of that? Well, then let's quit. Let's just look at everybody else and say, we resign. We're not resigning from Christmas, but we resign from, we're going to be realistic this year. I know that the unspoken rule is everybody spends this much money. We're going to be realistic, and this is what you can expect from us. And Merry Christmas. We love you guys. We'll be here to spend time with you. And we really feel like God's told us to help somebody else this year. Okay? If they love you, they'll understand that. If they don't, you hadn't lost anything. Okay? Second, everybody still with me? Everybody okay? All right. I mean, this thing isn't going to go away on its own. Somebody's going to have to decide to intervene. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about having a talk with our family this year. I really am. I'm thinking about standing up and say, look, we are so blessed. Why don't we do something for somebody who needs help? You know? I hate to tell you, but the color of shirt y'all get me ain't my color anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all buy gifts y'all like. Yeah, isn't that right? It's not what I wanted anyway. So look, no, it's not about that. It's not. It's just let's change the whole focus of this thing. And then maybe when we sit down on Christmas Eve, we can really give God thanks. And we can say, think of the other people in another household somewhere that's sitting that's having a wonderful Christmas this year. Thank God for that. Yeah. All right? Secondly, get busy with what you already know. Make a decision that in 2013, you're going to go to a higher level in service. Make that decision now. Don't wait and see what's going to happen. Well, let me wait and see what my schedule's going to be like. And let me wait and see if that promotion's going to come in. And let me wait and see if my car is going to be fixed. You listen, if you go by that type of thing, you ain't, good old Texas language, you ain't never going to do nothing, ever. Life will always throw you a curveball. Always. So here's what you got to do. Decide you're going to do something. Say, you know what? I love senior adults. I want to minister to them. Decide that you're going to mentor new converts. Get involved with a group of Christian men or women and help disciple them. Teach children how to love and serve the Lord. Establish a beacon of righteousness in your neighborhood by opening your home for a group to come together and worship the Lord there so that your neighbors, and stick a big blasted sign right out in the middle of the front yard and say, Jesus meeting here tonight. Man, reach out to the needy at Capstone, at UGM. Visit shut-ins. Greet those that are coming to worship services. Get involved with intercessory prayer. Mentor children at Leonard Middle School. Reach out to the homeless on Lancaster Street. What am I going to say? They don't care what you say. Those people out there have heard it all. Well, what am I going to say to them? It's not what you say. It's who you are that makes the difference. I never think that my brilliant words are going to change anybody's life. I never feel that pressure. I don't think I'm going to walk out there, because a lot of people that are struggling, they have all kinds of people come to them. They've heard it all. They've heard all the promises, all the platitudes, all that kind of stuff. I just want to go out there in the power of the Holy Spirit and just trust Him. And you know what? If going out there and just trusting Him and just touching people, I just believe He's going to do it. I'm not saying you don't have to say anything, but trust the Lord. Gee whiz, we think this whole salvation thing is us doing it. It's not. It's Him. And so we feel so insecure, and then we get back to me-centered Christianity. I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to make the Lord look foolish, and so therefore I'm not going to go. I'll just sit here and keep and listen to Pastor Parkey. That's safer. That's safer. It's safer. And then one day I'm going to get to heaven. The Lord's going to look at me and say, you remember that day Pastor Parkey said this? Yeah, I remember that. He said, what'd you do with it? Well, you don't understand my schedule. Now, you're talking to a God who oversees everything in heaven and earth, right? Right? You don't understand my schedule. Or you don't understand how hard it is. You're talking about a God who was beaten and crucified. You don't understand how hard it is. And you don't understand how mean people are. You know, and I don't even know if the Lord's going to say anything other than just look at us. And then say, are you about done? I know He's a God of love, but listen. He's also a God of justice, and He's also going to do what's right. And He's holy. And we don't have time to wait. I'm 53. And it came before I realized it. Janice, doesn't it come quick? My eyes don't see as good as they used to, and my back hurts quicker than it used to. I don't have time to sit around and wait. I've got to get out there and use it all right now. No one ever laid on their deathbed and said, well, I did too much for other people. That was my problem. I should have been at work more. Should have ignored my kids a little bit more. I wish I hadn't spent as much attention on my wife. And I'd have been at work. Should have ran around with that mistress more. Nobody's going to think that when I've been to a lot of deathbeds. They don't say those kind of things. They don't say those kind of stuff. They don't say that kind of stuff. Now, because you know what? They're looking ahead. And that's what we need to do right now is look ahead. And boy, I'm going to tell you, if you're willing to give away what you have, you may not feel like it's a lot. But multiply it. How do you multiply it? By giving it away, by acting on it. And when you get out there, there's going to be some things that are going to happen to you. First of all, you are going to experience a joy that you have not to this point experienced. It's called the joy of obedience and giving. Then you are going to see things and hear things that are going to cause you to grow spiritually. And you're going to go, wow, I didn't know those things until I got out here and started doing this stuff. That was the key to it being revealed to me. You're going to feel blessed. And you're going to say, when is the next time we're going to be able to do this? This was wonderful. The next thing you know, your life will be changed from a life of receiving all the time. And receiving's good. We all need to receive. or we don't have anything to give, but some of us only have an input chute. Okay, and all that does is make you spiritually constipated. You're going to feel blessed. Your life's going to change. You're going to become more happy and less me-focused. And you're going to say, Lord, all of a sudden, I'll never forget something John said when some he and me and some of the teens were walking. And we were at Serrano Ranch feeding people that day. And we had just handed out our last food. And we were walking through those buildings coming back to our van. And John said, this is what it's all about. And I said, yeah. I can't get feelings like this from receiving a hot pink shirt. Or even one I like. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So give yourself a gift this year. What gift do you give yourself? Give away. Give away. And all some of that depression and some of that stagnation that you feel in your life is going to begin to break off of you. Some of that frustration that you sense in your life, it's going to begin to go. Here's a lady who buys food for people who are behind her in line. She doesn't even know who they are. I've seen cheers in the Fort Worth paper written about her and the things that she does. It's blessing people. It's touching people. It's ministering to people. And you know who gets the most blessing out of that? The giver. The giver. Right? Some of you don't know, but the answer to that is like a Pastor Bob says, nod your head this way. Okay. Okay.